The question that we often ask, I think, or certainly I remember asking growing up, is what is so good about Good Friday? What is so good about Good Friday? It's a strange name, isn't it? Because we turn up at church together, not on a Sunday, to think about death, to think about Jesus' death. And Jesus' death was a terrible act, wasn't it? Yeah, it was the work of evil men, people who schemed against him. It was tragic. And as we read through the passion narrative, the Easter story, it should break our hearts. Why do we call it Good Friday? What makes this good? Well, at the last few verses that we had read from Matthew 27, just give us a few clues. Just give us a few clues. From verse 51, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. I mean, look at what happens when Jesus dies. Two things, two clues. That even as Jesus gives up his spirit and hangs on the cross, two things that we see that explain why this is Good Friday. First of all, the temple curtain is torn in two. Now, throughout history up to that point, worship of God had to take place in the temple. The temple was built as a place to represent God's presence with his people. We see all the way through the Old Testament with the tabernacle, the tent in the desert. And then as Jerusalem is built and the capital is built and the temple is established, it's destroyed once, then it's rebuilt. This is the second temple. But this is where God dwells with his people. This is where you come to worship him. And the curtain separated the ordinary people from the Holy of Holies, the place where only the priests could go, the place where only those priests who had ritually cleansed themselves and washed themselves could go to offer atonement and sacrifice for the people on behalf of the nation. And so as Jesus dies and the temple curtain is torn in two from top to bottom, what does that say? It says, look, you no longer have to come to the temple. You can worship God anywhere. You don't need a priest to go through the curtain for you on your behalf. Anyone can come to him. Access to God is now open because of Jesus' death. There is no need for priests, for ritual cleansing, for an earthly representative. There's no need to go to Israel, no need to go to Jerusalem. We can all, individually and corporately together, come to God openly as we are. What's so good about Good Friday? Well, because of Jesus' death, we can know God. We can know God. And the second thing, the second hint, as we see Jesus die, let's face it, is one of the weird parts of the Bible that preachers normally avoid. And we find it hard to explain. And we look down and we see as Jesus dies, verse 52, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Come again. It's like some kind of zombie apocalypse. What's going on? As Jesus dies, people who are dead, holy people, followers of God, come back to life again and go into the city. What is happening? Well, look, it shouldn't take us by surprise. It's a long-held expectation of God's people that the Messiah will bring about resurrection from the dead. You can go back into Daniel 12 and see that kind of prophesied. The work of the Messiah was going to bring about resurrection. And so what? It's only weird that people come back from the dead if we stop the story here. But we know what happens, don't we? Yeah, we know what we're going to be singing about and celebrating on Sunday. This isn't just any old person who's dying here on the cross. This is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King. And on the third day, he will come back to life. And we get a glimpse of what it's going to look like. As Jesus dies, people come back to life. Resurrection life is kind of foretasted here. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul writes, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Look, on that first Good Friday, the disciples were confused. They had no idea what was going on, and it looked like everything had gone wrong. We are in a more privileged position, aren't we? Even as Jesus dies, dead people come back to life. What's so good about Good Friday? Jesus' death makes new life possible. Jesus' death brings life. And so as we come to the table together to remember and proclaim Jesus' death, we don't do it from a place of despair. We're not doing this from a place of no hope, right? We do so knowing that this was God's great rescue plan. That this is God making it possible to know him personally and to bring new life that is yet to come. But we can, I think, occasionally treat Good Friday with a little too much solemnity. It's right that we remember Jesus' death. And it's right that we once again examine ourselves and examine our hearts before God. And as we reflect on that, we should mourn that it was our sin that put him there. As we read the Easter story and we're reminded of what Jesus has done for us, We mourn because we see the injustice of what Jesus had to go through, and we mourn because we know it was our fault. But it's our sin that took him there. But this is not how the story ends. And so we don't need to be sad today. We can begin to celebrate. This is the beginning of the celebration, as it were, the culmination of which comes on Sunday. We can rejoice in our hearts this morning, reflectively, because this is Good Friday.